Everybody doing well today? Oh, I'll tell you what, I am so excited about being here and just the opportunity to share with you this year. And I'm not going to take the whole year to share, but I'm just excited to be able to have this opportunity. And yes, last Sunday morning, we had the opportunity of hearing about the One Initiative ministry that we are involved with here at New Life Fellowship. And we would just like to say a special welcome to all of you who are watching online today. We give a special welcome to you and just say thanks for inviting us into your home to share the Word of God today. Last Sunday morning, the words are on the screen behind me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, it says this, "Hear," everybody say hear.
Hear,
O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The Lord is one. And verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That is your entire being, and that is what we are supposed to do. And so last week, Pastor Dane, he so eloquently preached the word, and he used that one little word when he was talking about the Shema. Everybody say Shema. In the word Shema, he went over it with us, is to hear. And so we are to hear the Word of God. But not only to hear the Word of God, but we are to make sure that we implement it, and we are supposed to put it into our hearts. And that is what the One Initiative is all about, that we would hear the Lord our God, for He is the Lord and He is one. He is the one thing that drives everything. So there are five components, and I'll go over these really quickly. There are five components of the One Initiative. Number one is one disciple. One disciple. We would love for every one of you to find an individual that you could disciple this year. And you say, well, what is it to disciple somebody? Find somebody who might know a little less about Jesus than you and talk to them about Jesus. Every one of us can do that. Number two, one project, one outreach that you will assist with this coming year. This coming year, we have got several outreaches that we're going to be doing, and as we have these outreaches, we are going to need people to help us in these outreaches. We want you to sign up and to say, I will be a part of at least one outreach in the year 2021. Number three is next one. One ministry that I can get involved in. One ministry that I can be a part of. I love how M has already signed up for one ministry this year. She said, I want to be a part of the worship team. And didn't you enjoy having M up here playing the bass guitar today? I loved watching that. Last Sunday morning after Pastor Dane preached, and I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and I'm saying, well, what is a ministry that I can be involved in? So you know what I did? I went and I signed up for preschool. They made the announcement and they said, we need help with our little children. I want to tell you something. Every one of you who raise your hand if you have children. Look at, all right, you, and I know a lot of your children. I love your children. You know what? Every time I see children come into church, I say to myself, that's job security. I love children. But I love youth, and I love college, and I love young, marriage, young adults. I love seniors. I love them all. I love every one of you. And so I thought, well, I can be a part of a ministry. I can be a part. So what I'm going to do is once I get on this, they're putting me on this. They've got to do a background check on me. Okay, so you pray that I pass that, okay? They're going to fingerprint me and my driver's license. And once I get cleared, I get to go in there and I can't wait to spend about an hour in there on a Sunday morning, just once a month. It might be, if a bunch of us do it, it's going to be a lot less than once a month, and we need help in our nursery. I don't know how, I haven't changed a diaper in a year, so I don't know that. I'll probably let that, somebody else take care of that. But one ministry that I am going to be involved in. Can you just say, I'm going to find one ministry that I'm going to be involved in? Move on, number four. One chapter that we are going to read, one chapter a day. Can you just make that commitment and say, I want to be a part of reading one chapter in God's Word. I have hidden His Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. And number five, one person. Can you find one person that you will pray for throughout this year? I think every one of us know one person that we could pray for. You could probably pray for me in the preschool. You could find one person and say, I want to pray for this one person that God is going to help them, that God is going to bring about a deliverance in their life, that God is going to give them the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to free them from the bondage of sin and make them free to live a life that is going to be pleasing to Jesus Christ throughout this year. Everybody said?
Amen.
I love that. And so one of the parts of this initiative that Pastor Dane has brought to us last week is the area of discipleship. And discipleship, it is so vitally important to the well-being of a church. And we need to have people that can help us in the area of discipleship. And so part of our discipleship here at New Life Fellowship is in the area of small groups. And last year, we just had tremendous numbers of individuals, you, who signed up and said, I want to be a part of a small group. And we had numerous small groups that met here at the church, that met online, that met in homes. And we're going to be doing it again this year. We're launching it right now. In February is the blast-off date, February the 3rd. But right now, we're using the month of March to go and to get you all signed up. So out in the foyer today on your way out, we've got over seven life groups that you can sign up for. I would like real quickly, if the life group members that I have asked you to come up, if you would come up to the front and join me up here on the platform. And so these individuals that you see up here right now, these are just such wonderful people. And they are going to be doing life groups. And the various life groups that they're going to be doing, they're going to give us their name, and then they're going to tell us a little bit about just what I told you to say. Okay.
You didn't tell me anything.
It's hard to tell him what to do. Okay.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Dane Weed, and in case you didn't know, and me and my wife Bev are doing a life group on Wednesday nights. It's going to be through Zoom, but you can join us in our home if you like. We're going to be doing Alpha. And I know we've had Alpha here at the church before, but I want to encourage you, if you have not gone through Alpha, you need to go through Alpha. Alpha is just a wonderful series that is just encouraging you in your walk with God, explaining what it means to, asking all kinds of questions like, why the Bible? Why do we need to invite people to church? Who is Jesus? It's a list of, I believe, 13 different questions that they go in and talk about. So if you're curious about your faith, or if you know somebody who's curious about their faith, you need to be a part of Alpha. And Alpha will be Wednesday nights at 6:30. So hope you can join us.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Dane. Let's give it up to Pastor Dane and to Bev. Amen. And Matthew is our youth pastor. And Matthew, share with us what you're going to do with Rocio Christi.
Yeah, like Michael said, my name is Matthew. I'm really excited. There's We're going to start this small group study class called Ratio Christi Apologetics on February 1st, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So what this class is going to be, maybe that whole sentence, Ratio Christi Apologetics class, literally makes no sense to you at all. First of all, Ratio Christi is a college ministry that I've been a part of up at Utah State University for the past year about, and it really just focuses on apologetics. If you don't know what apologetics is just this defense of the Christian faith. So this course that we're going to be doing in February is going to be this six-week course on just different topics as Christians that we can talk about in terms of defending our faith. For example, we're going to talk about the existence of God. How do I know God exists? How can I tell other people that God exists? We're going to be talking about the problem of evil. I don't want to give them all away. We're going to be talking about Christianity and how to know Christianity is true and arguments for the resurrection. So I'm really excited about this course. I know some of you in here have been involved with Ratio Christi, even at Utah State. And so this course is for college-age students those going into college as well. And so I definitely encourage you to join this group. Super excited about it. February 1st. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Amen. Let's give it up to Matthew. This next individual reminds me of that Charlie Rich song, country song years ago. If you happen to see the most beautiful woman in the world. And that would be my lovely wife, Nan. So, Nan.
Okay, the name of the series that we'll be going through is called Unshakable. It's from the book of Daniel. And so as we look at Daniel's life and just the many different trials that he experienced through all the different seasons of his life, we'll be able to learn and just grow in a deeper faith and trust in God, just from seeing the important biblical lessons and insights that we can gain, you know, from Daniel's perspective. And so I just really feel like joining a small group is one of the best ways that you can grow just a deeper walk in your relationship with Christ. And so I really encourage you to get involved. And we would love to have you join our small group or any one of these others, whichever one is the best fit for you.
Amen. Let's give it up to Nan there. And Ben and Corey Lundgren, wonderful people. They gave their testimony in November, and they're a part of our small group ministry as well as some of our leaders.
They're making a habit of me being up here. Like Michael said, we're Ben and Corey. We're going to be hosting a life group. It's kind of aimed towards people that are having a faith crisis. We were there once ourselves. We're going to examine the LDS faith and Christianity, and we're just going to compare the two and why we as believers in the Lord trust the Bible from cover to cover. Basically, we're going to examine the basics of Christianity and where the Bible backs it all up. So, yeah.
Amen. Let's give it up to Ben and Corey. Thank you so much. And last but not least, Debbie Johnson. Yes. And Debbie was last Sunday sitting in the chair while Pastor was preaching. And Debbie, you share the rest of the story.
Well, I know, just God is so amazing. At first, I would like to point out that he has moved the whole staff of New Life Fellowship to do a small group. And Dean and, all of our pastors and staff, they're not only preaching the word, but walking it. And I just want to, gosh, this is so amazing that we're living by examples. So while I was sitting there, Dane said something, all of you, probably one person or someone you can think of has really spoke into your life. And that's why you're here. And my first thought was my mother. And I was like, what? You know, I haven't thought about that in a little while. She's been gone a lot of years. And the thought just came into my mind that, as we're talking about mentoring and discipling, I can mentor moms. And I've spent the last year like clearing my plate of other ministries. And I was thinking, well, I feel kind of bad because it's like, I don't want to do that. Well, now I really feel like that God has just cleared it to make way for something new. And that first song we sang, is like, if I'm not dead, he's not done. So I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm not dead. So here we go. So in this thought process, It's still in the making because it's nothing I thought up. My husband today is like, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm waiting to be told. But so my heart is for you moms with children at home. Doesn't matter what age. I want to mentor you. I want to walk alongside you and remind you that you have been gifted the most amazing ministry in your home, and that is your children. And it's a mom's heart that is really shaping the next generation. And we are always about the next generation. I didn't know it was for job security, but yeah. And this will be times where, I called it the Mom Initiative because I really wanted to call it like the Mama Bear Group, because Mama Bear, you know, that's pretty popular. But I envision game nights with and without your children, mostly getting all you mamas together with each other to support each other in your walk, but also to help guide you in your walk. And then hopefully a date night or a girls' night without your children. Haley was pretty excited when I mentioned that. She says, oh, good, I can date my husband again. A lot of us kind of lost our identity when we had our children, you know. I mean, that first year especially, it's like, who am I? And then after that, you're just so-and-so's mom. So it just keeps growing and growing. But I can't do it myself. So then steps in you granny nannies, which is something that also Haley has given me the name of. When we were building our house, then I lived with her for a while, and I got to be granny nanny, and I loved it, and I still love it. I still like to take the kids and do things. But all of you who are more mature mothers, we are called not necessarily mothers, more mature women believers. Titus 2 says we're to teach the younger women. And so let us lead by example. Let us give our mamas that break that they need, whether it's through fellowship or taking the children one night while they get to pamper themselves and do all that. So anyways, that's my small group. I don't know how long it'll last. I guess I'm starting next month. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you so much, Debbie, and each one of you. Thank you for everything that you are going to be a part of. Real quickly, a video clip that we have from another one of our life group leaders. And so if we could have that video right now.
Good morning, New Life.
Hi, New Life.
Hey, Scott and Marley Boyer here. We're on our way south to camp in a Nevada desert. But Pastor Michael, he should actually work for AARP because he can find you, even if you're off the grid. He shouted out to us yesterday and asked if we'd do a short clip about our West Side life group. And so we're going to just share a little bit about that. And we've been getting together, I think, about 3 years now.
I think so. That sounds right.
We've done several studies together. Our life group is a group of nine from various backgrounds, diverse backgrounds, but we all have one thing in common, and that is a sheer love of Jesus. And it's neat that our life group, we've been meeting on Wednesday nights and going through the studies, but we do more than that. In the summertime, we did social distance picnics at a park. We did music in the park. We're there for each other 7/24. We have a text group, and probably not a day goes by that someone doesn't post something inspiring, scripture, or some message that's just, you know, Jesus full. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give a shout out to the West Side Best Side Life Group, and know that they are our family. All of New Life is our family, but the West Siders are definitely what we consider the family we like. Anyway, so I also want to give a shout out to Jess and Todd, and just say that, Todd, it's not too late to grow your winter face. Okay, all, you take care. We'll be off the grid for 5 nights. We'll see you on the other side. God bless.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Amen. So I just say a heartfelt thank you to each one of our life group leaders, and I want you to know this morning, if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit to say, I would like to be a small group leader, I would like to lead a small group leader, I want to let you know something. Don't neglect the tugging of the Holy Spirit to respond to that. We can still begin other small groups, and a small group can consist of you, two or three others, four or five others, how many ever you feel would fit comfortably into your surrounding, whether that would be here at the church or in your home or even at an office, in an office setting, however you can make it work. Small groups are not limited to just the church building. So, New Life Fellowship. Take your Bibles this morning, because I've only got a few minutes to share, and we've got to run through a passage, and it deals with discipleship, but it's not one of the traditional passages of Scripture when you think of discipleship. It's a really wild, wild story, and the storyteller is Mark, and I'm just going to reiterate and read Mark's story that he talks about. The area of discipleship, and it's in Mark's book. It's the chapter number 5. So chapter 5, let's look. And if you didn't bring your Bible this morning, I've got the words on the screen right behind me. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons. I told you it wasn't going to be a normal discipleship story, but it says this, a man possessed by demons came to meet him. Interesting that he came to meet Jesus. Jesus didn't go to meet him. For a long time, this man had been homeless and naked, living in a cemetery outside of town. And no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue the man. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself. Every night he would go out there and he would howl like a wolf. He would howl at night and he would yell and he would scream. He was not in his right mind. He was out of his mind. This is the most descriptive sign of demon possession we have in the Bible. It's the most descriptive story that we have of someone who is literally demon possessed. I want to pause here and just say this. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it is impossible for you to ever be demon possessed. There are some people who promote this false doctrine that you, as a believer, can be demon-possessed if you are a believer. Friends, let me tell you right now, believers cannot be demon-possessed because believers are possessed by Jesus Christ, the Most High, Son of God. And he does not share the temple with the demons, okay? Now, you can be oppressed at times in your life, and you can be tempted, and that is works, can be demons manifesting their works and their powers. But I want to let you know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And everybody said? Amen. So, we have this descriptive account. He was an outcast of society. He was homeless. He lived in the cemetery. He was naked. He had chains upon him. And the chains that he had upon him came around his wrist. and the chains were there, and he would be bound in that cemetery. And night after night, he would have these chains that would be bound upon him, and he would walk around. Who was the one that bound him? I don't even know who that person was, but he was bound by those chains, and Mark tells us that he would even break asunder the chains that had him bound, because then it was the power of the demons that were working inside of him that would loose him. And he would go throughout the cemetery, and at night he would begin howling again. And everybody back in this city, they heard the howling of the wild man, and they said, stay away from him. Stay away from the cemetery. That's where the wild man is. And then they would go, and they would get the chain the next day, and they'd bind him again with the chain. And they'd put those chains around him like that. And they would bind him so that he wouldn't come into town, because they didn't want the little children, and they themselves, they were terrified of him. But he would break asunder the chains, and the chains would fall off him. And in his nakedness and in his homelessness, he would run throughout that cemetery. And he would wreak havoc. And he would bring attention to himself. He would bring attention to the power that lived within him. And one day Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus is in his boat, and Jesus, along with his disciples who are in the boat, they get out of the boat. And as soon as they get out of the boat, Mark records these words: when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he bowed down before Jesus, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, I appeal to you, I plead with you, oh my God, do not torment me." For he, Jesus, had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked a question: "What is your name?" But he's not talking to the man right now. Jesus is talking to the demons who are inside and have possessed the man. And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Verse 10, he begged him earnestly, "Do not send them out of the country." I want you to know something, that demons know that Jesus has authority and power over them. Demons know that they are created, and anything that is created is less than the Creator. They knew Him, Jesus Christ, as Creator. They knew that they were powerless over Jesus. And they said, "Please don't send us to the bottomless pit. Please don't send us to hell today." Friend, let me just pause here and just say this. The next time that Satan comes up to you and he reminds you of your past and he accuses you for what you have done in your past, you just remind him of his future. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the things that he says and that he puts into your mind. Verse 11 says this: "Now, there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, 'Send us into the swine, let us enter them.'" So Jesus gave them permission. There again, demons are subject to the powerful name of Jesus Christ. I like the way, I don't have these verses up here in front of you here, but I love the way that Paul, when he wrote to the little church at Colossus, he said this: "Then God," chapter 2 out of Colossians, it says this: "Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins." And everybody said, He forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. He took my sins. He took the charges that I had against me. He took it all away by nailing it to a cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers of authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I love that passage. And then we read in our passage here in Mark's gospel, and the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned into the sea. Woo, pieg suey. The swineherders ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what was that happened. I love this part of the story. Verse 15. They came to see Jesus, and they saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and the people were afraid. The reason that they were afraid is because they were very superstitious. And they knew the power that resided within the demoniac. But they did not know who Jesus was. And they thought, if this man is all powerful to do break chains and do everything that he does, who is this that has the power to cast out demons into 2,000 pigs and caused them to drown themselves in the sea? And because of that, they were fearful of Jesus, because they did not at that moment know him. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine, they reported it. 17, then they began to beg Jesus to leave the neighborhood. Why did they beg Jesus to leave the neighborhood? Because they were fearful of Jesus. They didn't know who this higher power was that had power over the demons. Main part of the story for me is this. I don't want you to miss this. Verse 18. 17, then they begged Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And as Jesus, verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by the demons, he begged him, Mark says, he begged him that he might come with him. You know what is interesting about this verse for me? All throughout the New Testament, when we read about Jesus, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, burdened. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me and be my disciple. Come to me and I'll make you fishers of men. Here's a guy that has been full of the devil for we don't know how long, but many years this man had been full of the devil, and now Jesus delivers him. And when Jesus delivers him, the man begs Jesus, I want to get in the boat with you. And I want to be a follower of yours. I want to go with you. I want to be one of your disciples. And Mark gives us a little bit of insight into Jesus at this moment that's kind of hard for us to believe. And it's this, in verse 19, it says three words, But Jesus refused. Wait, Jesus, you're always calling people to you. And this guy is asking if he can go with you. But Jesus refused. And this is the part of discipleship that I love in the story. Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." Don't you love it? Instead of getting in my boat and my 12 disciples and hanging out with us, what I want you to do, buddy, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to go, and I want you to start a small group. I want you to go home, and I want you to talk with your family. Your family, they're not going to believe it. It's going to take, they'll believe it, but it's going to be one of those, "I don't believe it," kind of a stories. I want you to go home, and when you start your small group, I want you to tell people about the wonderful things that Jesus Christ of Nazareth has done just for you. I want you to tell them about the chains that he broke once and all in your life. I want you to tell him, the people, about the chains. I want you to tell them about the rocks. And you say, "Well, what rocks?" Well, Mark records for us that the man, he was out of his mind, and he used to take the rock, and he used to cut himself with the rocks. He used to bruise himself with the rocks. It was Satan that was living inside of him. It was Satan who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. "But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I have given you freedom." So, buddy, when you go home and when you start your small group, you got a couple of stories that you can tell the people. You can tell them that Jesus Christ broke the chains and sunder. He broke the shackles that had me bound. He broke the habits that I have, and he gave to me everlasting life. What else is small groups about? Oh yeah, you can have some good desserts, and man, that's good. That's one of the reasons I like going to small groups. You can have good desserts, and you have wonderful conversations with each other, and you get to talk to other people, and you get to find out what's going on in their life. The bottom line is this: when small groups happen, Jesus Christ's name is lifted up. Amen. And throughout the congregation, people's lives are strengthened. And so every one of us, when we become part of a small group, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, 7, 8, 9, whatever is in your small group, we don't want them to get really large. We just want them to be small so that you can have intimacy. You can share with people. You can feel their pain. You can sit across from them and you can hear stories. You get to tell your story. They get to tell everybody. Everybody in this room has one thing in common. Everybody in here has one thing in common. We all have a story to tell. We've all got something in our heart that Jesus has done for us. Every one of us in this room have another thing in common, and that is this: we have heartache. We're going through something very painful. Pastor just asked us, raise your hand if you've got any kind of a need in your life. I saw my hand went up first. That means the Lord's going to help me first. My hand went up because I have needs in my life right at this very moment. I have several needs in my life right now that if Jesus doesn't intervene and help out, I'm going to be a basket case. But I am a believer in who Jesus Christ is, that he is the one who hears the cry of my heart. And he understands the cry of my heart. And he says, there's Mike, it's Michael again. And he knows what's going on in my heart and what I'm struggling with and what the need is, that the needs are that I have. And so when you have needs and we come together in a small group, it's an opportunity for us to be able to pray with one another, to lift up one another, and to hold up each other and say, I'm going to be with you, to pray with you over this particular need. Our small group that we have, we have had the opportunity of praying for various needs within our group. And I'm just hopeful that in February when we relaunch them and we get these groups growing again, that we're going to be able to just far supersede anything that has ever happened on Testimony Sunday in November of this coming year when we have our Testimony Sunday. I'm hoping that some of the people are going to have stories out of their small group, and they're going to be able to say, this is what I've gone through, but this is the saving power of Jesus Christ. This is the power of God, of what he did for us. How many of you believe that God is able to do that? I believe that with all of my heart. But Jesus refused and said, go home and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown for you. This guy never went to college. This guy never read a book on discipleship. This guy never watched a YouTube video on how to lead somebody to Christ. This guy never read a book on 7 points you need to have the victorious overcoming life. He never read any of the books. He never read any of the manuals. But friends, he had an encounter with the writer of everything, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to work in him. The Holy Spirit took an unlearned, an uneducated, an untrained man and made him the lips of the gospel to a bunch of Gentiles that didn't know who Jesus was. And then we have this, verse 20, and I close with this, verse 20, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. When they went to the small group, when they listened to him, they were amazed at what Jesus had done in this man. They all knew who he was. But they only knew the madman. They didn't know the saved man. They knew the crazy guy, and they named him, there's crazy guy. But they didn't know the guy who was in his right mind. Friends, that's what Jesus does. Jesus takes crazy Mike. Jesus takes crazy me, and he puts his spirit in me, so that I can share with others the good news of who Jesus is and what he is all about. So our one initiative, that's what we're trying to get home in part. One of the facets of the one initiative is discipleship. We want to lead people deeper into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As our worship team comes up and joins me on the platform here right now, we just want people to know that there's hope for us. But you know what? We have to take the initiative. The initiative for us is we need to sign up and say, I want to be a part of this small group. If it's going to be a part of the Alpha, if it's going to be a part of the Ratio Christi, if it's going to be a part of the West Siders, the Outsiders, the Insiders, the No Siders, the whatever Sider, it doesn't matter. Be a part of a group. Share your story. with somebody else and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're all about, is exalting the name of Jesus Christ. I love the song that we sang earlier this morning. This is my testimony. Would you stand with me right now? So, Heavenly Father, I pray right now over everyone in this congregation and those watching online. I just ask Jesus Christ that you will invade every one of their lives, that you will move them, Lord Jesus, from a chair, from a sofa, from a stool, wherever they may be sitting right now, Lord Jesus, that you would move them, Lord Jesus, into that place of saying, I want to give my life to working for you. I want to become a part of the discipleship ministry. I want to share my story with somebody else to help them become a stronger believer. I want to become a part of a small group so that I can help encourage somebody else. I want to become a part of a small group so that I can receive encouragement for myself. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this one initiative and this one segment of it, discipleship. I just pray, Lord, that throughout 2021, New Life Fellowship is going to grow and mature in this area. And I give you thanks for this, Father. And it's in your precious name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Before you leave this morning, I'd like you to just know that, as Pastor Dane has mentioned, the situation that our nation finds herself in today, it's in perilous times right now. Our nation is hurting. And we have set aside tonight at 5 o'clock to have a church-wide prayer meeting on Zoom. And so we just hope to see as many of you as possible on the Zoom call tonight at 5 o'clock. And just pray that God will be with America. And your prayers will mean everything. You have the screenshot. You could take a picture of it right now so that you'll be able to go home and dial that in to your computer. And just pull up Zoom and type in the ID number that is there. And you'll be able to join with us. And we're looking forward to that. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to minister this morning with you. I say to God be the glory, and may God's blessing richly be upon every one of you as you go your way today.